Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, our service on the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're about to enter a season called Passiontide, in which we begin to reflect even more deeply on the Lord's sacrifice of himself on the cross. And you'll find that that is reflected in the hymns and readings also in our service. We had some good news during the week that we are allowed to return to the church building for in-church worship on Good Friday. And so we will have our Holy Week services streamed each night at 7:30. But on Good Friday, we are allowed to welcome back a congregation. And the service will again be live streamed on Good Friday for those who are shielding and unable to come in person. But we will, of course, be observing social distancing and we'll be wearing our face coverings. But it is cautious steps in the right direction, and we're delighted to announce that news today. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Tuesday morning at 11:30, the funeral service of the Reverend Desmond Logan will take place here in church, and with the current restrictions, again, we're conscious many people would like to be able to come to that service, but won't be able to because of the restrictions. But the service will be live streamed, and if people tune in to the St. Finian's YouTube channel, you will be able to follow that service on Tuesday at 11:30. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course meets at 8:00, and on Thursday evening, our midweek Lenten service at 7:30, as we continue our series on an army of ordinary people, as we hear some stories of faith from among our congregation. Next Sunday, our service is the service of morning prayer, and that will be a service for Palm Sunday. We begin our worship today as we hear our opening hymn, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of Holy Communion, and we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The epistle is written in the letter to the Hebrews in the fifth chapter, beginning at the fifth verse. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Here ends our epistle reading. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John in the 12th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We join together to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our next hymn is the hymn, "Jesu, Lover of My Soul." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when we anticipate an event or we anticipate meeting a person, the reality can be quite different to what we imagined it would be. And we get a sense of this today in John's Gospel as we get closer to the events at the end of Jesus' life on earth. And we hear today of this very striking experience for some Greek seekers who are absolutely longing to see and to meet Jesus. They have heard about him, and word indeed spread very rapidly about Jesus after he raised Lazarus from the dead. And these Greeks came with this touching and very simple request to Philip. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And as we hear about Jesus and as we read about him in the Gospels, is that not a request or a cry that might be at the core of all of us, especially in these troubled times? We would like to see Jesus. And perhaps we have ideas of what he will be like. According to most of the artists' impressions that I've ever seen, Jesus will be white, he'll be handsome, he'll be bearded, and he'll be strong. And I guess, in short, that's how most of us would like our leaders to be: strong, powerful, in control. And therefore, it's quite a shock to the system as Jesus speaks to this little group of people about the mystery of the spiritual life. Because instead of boasting about all the territories that he's going to conquer, he instead predicts his own death. And maybe this is where many of us would rather part company with Jesus. Like the Greeks, we would like to see Jesus, but then as we do see him and we hear him in this gospel passage, maybe we made a mistake. Isn't Jesus supposed to be the powerful one? Isn't he the one who brings new life and the healer and the one who drives out demons and even raises the dead, as we heard when he raised Lazarus? And of course he is all of these things. But then as Jesus outlines how they're going to be accomplished, it's not so easy perhaps for us to stay with him. Many people are surprised and they're even offended that the death of Jesus is so central and so important to Christianity. And this visit of the Greeks provided an occasion for Jesus himself just to tell us how central his death is, in order that all of us who come after him may find life. And my sense is that we're all walking on very holy ground at this point, because Jesus very gently brings us with these Greek seekers to the mystery that's at the very heart, at the very core of our faith. And the mystery is this, that for Jesus, the way of life is through death. And the moment when he will be most honored will not be when crowds of Jews and Gentiles flock to see him and to hear him, but rather when, like a grain of wheat, he dies as a prelude to rising again and giving life to many. And Jesus is concerned that those who seek to follow him should understand the nature of his mission, and indeed the cost that's involved in discipleship. And that's why he sets out things in this way for these seekers. And as we hear Jesus saying all of these very hard things, we can also get a sense that it wasn't easy for him to put forward the upside-down values of his kingdom. And indeed, in his humanity, we see Jesus daunted by the prospect of his own physical suffering and death. In verse 27, he speaks very powerfully about how his own heart is troubled at what lies ahead of him. But what's of paramount importance to Jesus is following the will of God, bringing God glory, and making it possible for every single person who comes after him to find this forgiveness and healing and relationship with God through his death for our sins. So we might wonder, what does dying to self mean for us today? I find Jesus' words to us poignant and vivid as we continue to face this pandemic that poses such a threat to all our mortality. And in the struggles that we're all facing at the present time, we can clearly see that there are heroic acts of selflessness going on day by day. As people care for each other, as they risk their own health to provide essential services for people. But we need to be clear about all that Jesus is saying. There is an urgency at the present time, I believe, in asking this question: how can we get right with God? How can we correct our priorities so that they are in line with God's priorities? How can we move towards Jesus and surrender our lives to him, even if we feel afraid to take that step? Well, let's remember in the first instance just how much he loves you and how much he loves me. And let's remember how much he longs for you and for me to come back to him, so that whatever these coming months might bring to us, we can be assured of his peace and the joy of eternal life with him, even after our own earthly journey is over. I think the most striking proof of what I'm trying to tell you today is when you see Jesus stretched out on that cross for you and for me, even when we had turned our lives away from him. And we reflect on that in a deep way as we share the service of Holy Communion. Put your trust in the light, says Jesus, while you still have the light, so that you may become sons and daughters of light. It is a challenging call, isn't it? If we genuinely want to see and to know Jesus. And yet the one who calls us has been there, and he promises to accompany us as we need to very humbly acknowledge our need of him. We need to open our hearts, and we need to invite him in to journey with us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And we pray for safety as churches prepare to reopen for in-church worship on Good Friday. And we pray that many will receive the healing message and love of the cross of Jesus this Lent and Holy Week and Easter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and we pray especially for nations where there is fear and anxiety. We pray at this time for the people of France, fearing a third wave of COVID-19. And we pray for all measures that have been set in place to keep people safe and protected. We also pray today for peace in Myanmar, and we pray for democracy and peaceful values to prevail in a tense situation where lives are being lost and people live in fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially today for all whom we know who are sick, either at home or in hospital or in nursing homes. We also want to pray particularly for those who are separated from loved ones because of the restrictions in their anxiety and confusion. We pray that you would come alongside them and give your peace. We also want to pray for those who mourn. And from our parish family, we pray for all who have experienced devastating loss in this past week. And so we remember today the family of Ivy McBride, the family of Kay McDowell, the family of the Reverend Desmond Logan, and the family of Peg Brown. And we pray, Lord, that you would comfort and uphold these families in their sad loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And now at this point, thanks to the permission of the group City Alight, we're going to reflect on the powerful words of our next hymn, which reflects on the sacrifice of Jesus. What love, my God.
Shut
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. God of hope, in this Holy Communion we have tasted the promise of your heavenly banquet and the richness of eternal life. May we who bear witness to the death of your Son also proclaim the glory of his resurrection, for he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May Christ draw you to himself and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our worship today. And as our service draws to a close, our closing hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.